same time, people maybe sometimes show us as victims, as only victims to be pitied, but this is humiliating for us. We don't want the pitiness, or we don't want the sympathy of the people around the world. We want to be treated with dignity, because I feel humiliated when somebody comes to me and like it tries to show their sympathy or their pitiness. This is not a good way to be treated with as Palestinians, as the indigenous people of this land. And another way, people try to show us as unwavering maybe figures, or as people who have to be steadfast all the time, to suffer all the time, as this is our destiny, that we are created or we are born just to suffer. And I'm always wondering, like, why do we have to suffer all the time? Is it just being born Palestinian in Gaza? No, the fact is that we are the indigenous people of this land. We are the owners of this land. And people must understand this. And people must understand that they have to be on the right side. They don't have to be in neutral or to be silent, because in neutrality or being silent in such moments, you need to show the truth to the whole world. It means complicity. It means that you are complicit with the Israeli actions that are committed against the Palestinians in Gaza. Israel has crossed all of the lines by committing the cruel massacres against the Palestinians there. So this is my message all the time. This is what I'm trying, or what I try to let people know.
We're also grateful that you're a member of this community, and that you've been using your platform to speak your truth and to define what dignity is, and to show that with your words and your actions and your brilliance. It's just been such an honor to have you today, Iman.
You're an example for all of us, Iman. We're very proud of you. Thank you so much, Iman, for all that you're doing.
Thank you.
That was writer and journalist Iman Al-Hajj Ali. Thank you for tuning into Electronic Intifada Radio. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. For more interviews, reports, and analysis, along with feature articles, podcasts, and our live stream, check out electronicintifada.net. Produced by Pierre Loisel, Nora Barrows-Friedman, and Tamara Nassar.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Support for KBOO comes from its members, and from the Bureau of Labor and Industries Child Care for Construction, a program dedicated to helping working families in the trades in partnership with Business Oregon. More info at oregon.gov/BOLI/apprenticeship under the link Financial Assistance for Registered Apprentices.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
David D. Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon, and the gang is all here. You know, the band is back, the Afrofuturism crew, the only one missing, and only because he is out there doing futuristic things at a basketball game. We're talking about Ross Ceylon, but here we have Big Sean Taylor, author, educator. We have author, poet, and radio host, Janae Darden, fellow journalist. We have scholar, author, you know, and freedom fighter, Quadro Dedeville. We have a fierce freedom fighter, educator, all-around nerd, Constance Rice, and trainer, comic book aficionado, and a go-to guy if you're ever on Jeopardy and you need to do a lifeline call to get some information about a subject. We're talking about OSA, Big O, in the building. So this is my favorite time of year because we get to look back at all the things that affect us as Black folks in the, under the umbrella of Afrofuturism. And that ranges from movies to exhibits to comic books to characters that have shown up to AI and the whole nine throughout the diaspora. And so I'm going to start off with you, Big Sean, because Big Sean is also on parental duty. And I want to make sure, you know, and if he doesn't get to his daughter's play, there will be problems. So I want to give you an opportunity to tell us what stood out for you in 2025 in the world of Afrofuturism and, you know, something that just really warmed your cackle, so to speak.
Thank you. What's up, everyone? I think the what really hit me the most are two things. One was just how people have been doing Afrofuturism as opposed to talking about Afrofuturism, because sometimes I think that the language can get in the way of the practice. But there's been people doing movies, there have been people doing incredible music, there have been people doing incredible scholarship. And for me, it just felt like, because for a while I was really worried that Afrofuturism wouldn't have a long lifespan, that it would go the way of hip-hop, where you're going to have Harry the Hip-Hop Afrofuturist and Afrofuturist Serial and like all these things that have been like totally like culturally disappropriated and decimated by capitalism. But however, I think what didn't happen with Afrofuturism that happened with hip hop is that people decided, you know what, let's keep this, let's actually be gatekeepers to a degree. Not to say that people are being gatekeeping with each other, but being like, you know what, let's not let this get as far afield as we let other things get. And so people were able to take more experiences. For example, there's this movie called, which is my second one, called Black News, Terms and Conditions.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Yes.
Yo, like, it was one of those experiences where I, like, when I saw Underestimation of Her Beauty, I think what that was called, or Underestimation of Her Beauty, I can't think of this movie. But I remember, but I set out the theater, was like, do I go back to my 13-year-old self and sneak back in and watch it again? But, you know, they have assigned seats, so that's kind of harder now. But it was one of those movies where I just literally sat in the theater and was so just awed. You know, every once in a while, blackness can awe you and just like render you almost stupid. Sometimes after that movie, I was like, how dope are we? Mm-hmm. Like, we have done so many amazing things despite people constantly trying to take it from us, constantly trying to kill us, constantly trying to say that we aren't worth it. And then we come out with something like this. We give you music like, say, Uni. We give you all this stuff and we keep doing it, and part of me is kind of like, y'all don't deserve it. You know, because of what we did. But for me, between the types of art that's coming out of people who are filtering it through Black or Afrofuturism, pardon me, and the Black News Terms and Conditions were my two highlights of the year.
There you go. And I agree. The night that I saw it, Ryan Coogler was with, I'm trying to remember the film director of this particular movie. They were in conversation over in San Francisco. And yeah, we
Brother Camille Joseph.
Thank you, Camille Joseph. Yeah. And that was, whoo, that was definitely a movie, you know. And if you, the only thing that I would say about that is that I think people should have an idea of what it's like going in so you can really appreciate it even more. You know, because it suspends time and place and everything. They kind of say it in the beginning, but I think if you go in there, then you can be like, wow, they have W.E.D. Du Bois and they got all this film, but they're on a spaceship. I mean, it was an incredible movie. So big shout out for that. Janae Darden, what stood out for you in 2025?
Well, that's a great question. So because my year was really busy this year. So for me, it was literature. Sky Full of Elephants. I don't know if you all read that. Yeah, I see some heads nodding.
Yes. Yeah, my wife read it. And I don't know if she returned it to the library.
Okay.
It's one of those.
You put her on blast out in public. So hopefully.
No, because she, I'll read a book in a night. You know, it's like, you know, we're on vacation somewhere. She still has the book. I'm afraid to go upstairs and see the book. Right. If the book is still there, because I know she got it in the summer.
She's taking her time with it. I can understand.
That's what she told me. She said, right. I'm taking my time. Leave me alone.
Maybe she need to buy books if she's gonna let them expire. But Sky Full of Elephants. I think his name is Sebo Campbell, which is basically the novel is about the white people in the United States. They drowned themselves, all of them. And so there's no white people in the United States. And the main character is a black man who was incarcerated. And he ended up, I believe, teaching mathematics at Howard University. So it was just looking at, like, you know, definitely decolonization mentally. And his daughter, she's half white, and she's very, very, very anti-black. And so they kind of go on this adventure, and she's looking for her mother, you know, and her family, her white family. And I just thought it was just an interesting concept of not necessarily, like, even though the white people were gone, there was still whiteness there. And it's kind of like, how do you heal? You heal from all of that, from just hundreds of years of oppression and going forward. And not, like I said, not necessarily thinking about what would the United States look like without white people, but what would it look like without, you know, whiteness, so to speak. And so, and funny, I was telling people about the book, and they're like, some people I met who, you know, who were biracial, they were like, would I exist? You know, would I drown myself? And I think even the concept of drowning was deep too as well, especially because we, you know, our ancestors came here on water, and it was a hellish ride. And I thought that was deep, that's how they die, was by drowning themselves. So yeah, it was really, really interesting to read. And so that spoke to me. I'm also reading, I just started reading Hawk. This is an old book by Vivian Ayers, who's the mother of Felicia Rashad and Debbie Allen. And it was published in 1957. It's a collection of poetry. And some of her poetry is actually in NASA, because she foresaw things that astronauts saw much years later when they went out to explore space. So they were fascinated that she saw these things from the ground, mm-hmm. but she was clairvoyant like that. So I've been reading that, and the poetry is deep and it's very complex. So that's what I've been reading. So yeah, I'm right now it's books.
Well, there you
go. Co-Founders was great. Co-Founders in the Bay Area was great. The musical.
Ryan Nicole and all of them.
Ryan Nicole, yeah. And just how they use technology to tell a story.
I think you make Sean Taylor's point. You know, people ain't just talking, they're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. It was good to go to the airport and sit up there and see an Afrofuturism museum right there in SFO. Ain't no black people there, but it was good to see the museum. So I'm glad that people are stepping up. Constance Rice, how you doing, sis?
Hey,
good to have you on. You always come through and tell us about every animation that has come out. I think you have watched it.
I've seen one. Yeah, I haven't actually seen. I can't recall really watching anything that was like for us by us. that was long form, but like all over like the social media and like TikTok, YouTube, there's a lot of shorts. Seeing the kids playing with the AI, and then and folks just doing their own animation. There's a whole generation of kids out there and young people who are really into anime, and they really want to see themselves. And yeah. So they're making that. That was something that really stuck out for me, is that they're really putting their energy into seeing themselves on screen in the animation areas.
You know, we talked before about the truncating of imagination. And as a parent, are you seeing that the kids are imaginative? You know, on one hand, I'm seeing the kids, my kids with screens all the time, and I'm like, oh man, where they going? And then, you know, pop up and my son is in a play. I'm like, you're in a play and you sing and rap and do all this stuff and go in his room. And it's like, what's going on? Nothing. And then look in his notebook and it's like these crazy pictures. And I'm like, what? So I feel good for the future, but I don't know if you're experiencing that with your kids where, you know, they're taking hold and transforming their world.
No, you know, they're really, their imaginations are intact, but I was very serious about that when they were coming up. And but I also just think that the ways in which that they've been forced to use their imagination, to be able to use their imagination because of the screens, has become, it's helped them out in some ways, because they can have an instant where they can create their own videos, they can make their own animations, they can create their own video games. So they're the creativity is still there. Just the tools have changed. I don't think it's as bad as we thought it was going to be.
There was no movie, just the shorts this year.
Yeah, I didn't really see a lot. There was like black characters and a lot of like common side effects. There's a black character and he's a black man. There's blackness coming through. There's a black character in what is that show, Lazarus,
right?
That's from the guys who do Cowboy Bebop, I think. And again, another black character where you can see where the blackness actually comes through. It's not just a brown shaded white character. Right. So like there was bits and pieces here and there, but I didn't really see Iyanu, but that was the only thing I saw.
Okay, appreciate that. Osa Tiambe, how you doing, brother? What stood out for you in 2025? I don't know if I made as many calls to you this year as I normally do, trying to catch up on series and books.
At one point in the year, there was some calls. But you know, and now it's been kind of chill. But like, I think it was early spring. You were asking me some stuff.
I think I was asking about Brave New World with Captain Marvel. Like, what's the story? Osa's the one that gives me all the backdrop, man. You know,
I don't know what he's talking about, but no, for me, I think, you know, actually kind of piggybacking on what Constance said, one of the things that I noticed, we saw more characters in comics, which I'm not going to lie, I was scared. I thought we were going to start seeing less and less because of the wave of, you know, the red pill culture and, you know, everybody complaining about these characters. But, you know, one thing I will say, whether you like DC, Marvel, or whomever, one thing that DC did, they put a stamp on their characters and they moved them forward. Like with Absolute Green Lantern, we're dealing, we have a young sister who's there, and then we have Green Lantern War Journal. So now John Stewart has his own book. So you know, we're seeing more and more of that. On the Marvel side, they, you know, the Blade and Black Panther, they had a story that was together, and now those books are selling well. So what we are seeing is where the big names push, you know, kind of shrank when it came to their cinematic universes. It's like where most of us love the comics, you know, where we like to be. We saw them go, we saw them dig in, dig their heels in a little bit, and I was happy about that. But I also, I've been really been looking for some independents, some old, some new, and I've been finding some amazing, amazing stories, just like just there, as well as a couple of young brothers who are working on manga and things of that nature. So, you know, it's there.
Right.
It's just a matter of, like, we have to seek it out, and in some cases, you have to demand it. And I think the negative feedback that a lot of the studios got let the publishers know, oh, we need to work it different. And I'm glad that they're at least listening to that part.
Well, I was happy to see, you know, a step forward from people like Shanaka Hodge, you know, definitely Ryan Coogler. You know, what he did this year, I think, was exciting. You know, not just with Sinners, but his animation. You know, that was fun, you know, to watch. And I think, you know, again, it just underscores a lot of people are stepping up and just doing their thing. Some are taking advantage of the platforms that they have, you know, and doing it. And others are like, I'll just do it my damn self. And to discover it, you know, because it's not mainstream and you come across it, I think it's exciting. It you know, and I think that needs to continue. Quadro Dudeville, how are you seeing things, man? What stood out for you in 2024? First of all, did you do any projects? Because, you know, you got your painting and doing all these murals and stuff. So did you do anything Afrofuturistic that we can see if we drive by the freeway somewhere?
No, no, not from me. But, you know, my good friend, my Ace Boom Maroon, Reefa One, did a fantastic mural at the Kingmakers in West Oakland. So just viewing that, as somebody you need to get on the show just to talk about the iconography in that. And it's a Pan-African project. We
did have more, so that was good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, him and his son, you know, came.
All right. Oh, yes.
Yes. You know, so Reefa One is definitely Afrofuturistic to the core. That mural is like that. So, but that's you all.
Yeah. But for myself, I was invited to speak at a Afrofuturist conference and symposium in Dakar, Senegal. I was there virtually. You know, however, you know, but it was a several day conference. It was like a week of both virtual and in person presentations. And the session or the piece that I gave, the presentation that I gave, was AI Aryan intelligence versus AI African intelligence, the ramifications of artificial intelligence on the African continent and its diaspora. And so, you know, they gave me the opportunity to ramble about that for about 30 minutes. And the thing that prompted it was, you know, as one of these Afrofuturist tipping points, is that the African Union published two papers late in 2024. They published a paper called Artificial Intelligence, AI for Sustainable Youth Development in Africa, which is, this is a big deal. You know, Google is involved with this amongst some other, you know, entities like the UN, et cetera, and so forth. And in 2025, they published a long, I think it's like a 30-page paper on continental artificial intelligence strategy for 2025. So once, from my standpoint, Western powers or, you know, Western parameters start deploying these things on the continent, this is really the time when we really need to wake up and observe things. And I was, you know, on the one hand, wanting to kind of sound the alarm and have us start collectively thinking about that. And I'll read a quote from Amiri Baraka that's always, you know, prompted my thinking in regards to this. But I also didn't want to come off like, you know, the Afro-Luddite, you know, trying to spark Afro-Ludditism either, you know. Right. So on the one hand, I'm very amazed by what AI can do. But on the other hand, I'll be frank with you that I am very, very suspicious of it. And so what I'm going to do is, you know, you all might be familiar with it. I'm going to just read this quote again, because folks in the audience might not be familiar with a quote from the book by Amiri Baraka, this title, Race, Raise, 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 spelt several different ways. And he wrote this thing in 1971, I believe it was published in 1972, where he says, it was in an essay called Technology and Ethos. And he said, the actual beginnings of our expression are post-Western, just as they are certainly pre-Western. And he says, machines, as Norbert Wiener said, are an extension of their inventor creators. That is not simple once you think. Machines, the entire technology of the West is just that, the technology of the West. And so he also says most of the West-shaped information is like mud and sand when you're panning for gold. But I'm just, you know, throwing that out there so that we can be as much suspicious of AI and really, really at its, you know, form at its root, the structures that create it, and that we start thinking as Afrofuturists in regards to that. Now,
right.
In addition to that, you know, in terms of music, one of the things that really caught my ear, and I wish I could have attended this concert in person, was Jason Moran, you know, probably my favorite jazz pianist right now, collaborated with Detroit techno legend Jeff Mills in a live concert with Jessica Caremore in Detroit. And just the clip that you can hear on YouTube is... It's dope. So that's one thing. And there's also The World to Come, you know, where Christopher Priest this year, as Osa probably knows and Sean probably knows and Janae and Constance knows, you know, Christopher Priest tried to give us all high blood pressure, you know, for a period of time. So that was another Afrofuturist.
I'll say this, and, you know, and anybody can jump in. One of the things that I thought was, since you mentioned techno, if you haven't seen the documentary, you know, God Gave Us Drum Machines, and to see that journey of electronic music from a Detroit perspective, its dance that it did with Chicago, the dance it did with New York, the dance it did with LA, is just not only inspiring, but it's also underscores the importance of, you know, owning your own, you know, which I think is a major theme of that. As somebody who does a lot of music, you know, I saw what happened when UMG came in there and started saying, we own everything that's created, you know, and I was like, thank God I wrote my stuff. Thank God I trademarked and copyrighted and moved it off the platform. So yeah, you gotta be up on stuff immediately, because it's what I'm seeing is that folks are not creating as much as they're harvesting your creation and then putting minds around it and said, well, you know, you created this thing on our platform, so it's now it's ours. It's kind of like going to a university, you know, you went to Stanford and you know, you used our internet, and so we own half of your stuff. And so I think it's important that, you know, we understand ownership as well as gatekeeping, and it's a business, and when you use other people's things, know how to dance with it. But I think folks are really paying attention to our minds and seeing what they can take for a few crumbs, and that would be a tale of caution. So I hear you when you say you have concerns. Big Sean, let me ask you this. First, I didn't ask you if you were working on any projects as we're looking back at 2025, and, you know, in the interest of your time, what are you looking forward to in 2026 that we should hook our reins to?
I mean, for 2026, I'm really looking for the new Spider-Man Miles Morales film, if that actually happens, because I think that, you know, showing a black Boricua kid from Brooklyn is like, you know, hey, that's me. I'm Jamaican Puerto Rican, so that's me. I mean, I think I'm really excited about that, because those are the best Marvel films. And if anybody wants to debate me, I will. Yeah, to me, that's just the Spider-Man films I'm looking really forward to, because I think, like when the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse came, it was Black Panther in February, and then the Spider-Verse, like, that year was incredible for that. And then the second one was actually better than the first one to me. And then hopefully this third one will be good. And honestly, I actually don't want to see that as a live-action film. I think for that character, I think animation for that character is the perfect venue for that character, for what New York can look like. I mean, unless Spike Lee did it, because nobody does New York like Spike Lee. I mean, even The Last Highest to Lowest wasn't my favorite film, but nobody made New York look like that. I mean, he has an eye for that. And on the personal front, I'm actually writing my a solo show called Speak and Carry, and it's about how we deal with and process grief. And which I don't think it's also kind of like, you know, how do you decipher between the performative grief and like what does it really mean to actually grieve? What does it mean to mourn? And so I've interviewed 114 people about that, and I looked at my own, you know, what my own relationship to grief and loss and mourning. And so that'll be a solo show. I got a pretty decent grant, shout out to the Pop Culture Collaborative for the grant, and hopefully March I'll go into previews, and then we'll try to find a home theater for a couple of weekends and see what happens.
You know, I'm glad to hear that you're doing that, and I don't know if we put that under the umbrella of Afrofuturism, but first of all, there was a wave of Black folks, including yourself, who did books on fatherhood. You know, yeah. Props to you. And that was really good to see that coming from that perspective, bashing on all the myth and really asserting a different type of narrative. But also, you know, just looking at folks like Kariga, Bailey, Mr. Fab, and Kareem, who went through the loss of his child, and seeing those guys, you know, having organizations and addressing this issue of grief in a very profound way, with the understanding that we need to have mental places where we can check in and really share. And I think that's part of, as much a part of Afrofuturism as our imagination. And I'm glad to see that you're a part of that cadre of people that are now not only talking about it, but doing something about it.
And I think Afrofuturism, I think COVID interrupted a lot of it, but I really believe that Black folks gathering together again in public and collaborating and working together is the future. I think that COVID put a huge like dent in our collectivity, but I really believe that moving forward, you know, and I do have a really funny essay coming out called Better Parenting Through Afrofuturism, and it's actually a comical essay that I'll drop on my website probably in the next couple of weeks. But I think that us getting back to it was like, I mean, I'm thinking of like the places that we used to have, like the Java House and, you know, the Upper Room and all these places that were places where the future was being generated on the spot, and, you know, Black Dot and all these things, and where it's like, now we have nothing in Oakland or Richmond or Berkeley. Yeah. And right. I'm hoping that in-person collective spaces is how we're going to manifest Blackness and Afrofuturism in the Bay Area.
Appreciate that. Big Sean Taylor, we will be on the lookout. All right, Janae, you did a lot of shows this year, your radio show, and it really focuses on art. Anything stood out, anything that you're looking towards in the future that you're saying, yeah, this is about to be on and popping?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, so the World Fantasy Convention is coming to Oakland. I hope it's still coming to Oakland, because I know there's been issues with travel. But who's co-chairing it is a sister here named Audrey T. Williams, and she's a writer, and she's very involved in Afrofuturism and sci-fi, just creative community here. So I'm excited to see about that convention. And the convention focuses on literature and science fiction and horror. So I'm excited to see what she might have cooking, as far as, because it'll be here in Oakland. And it's been here in Oakland before, but I think it's been like many, many years. So yeah, so that's coming up. And then Starfleet Academy series is debuting in January and on Paramount Plus. And so it's a look at, you know, like a show about Starfleet. So, and I'm thinking like, that's San Francisco, right? So hopefully it'll be some stuff in San Francisco. And the comedian Gina Yashir, the British sister, she's going to be one of the characters in that. So I'm looking forward to those two things. So that's something to do. And it's something to watch.
Well, you're all about these books. You are bringing literacy back.
I love books.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Constance, what are you seeing in the future, 2026?
I've seen a few books that I want to read. That's about it.
Another book person.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think our collective Afrofuturism will turn a corner in what we're experiencing? You know, we're in the middle of an Orwellian, you know, why am I forgetting the sister's name, out of Altadena, the sci-fi sister,
Octavia Butler.
Thank you. We're in an Orwellian Butler situation. And do you see us using our collective genius breaking out of this and turning a corner?
Yeah. The kids are ready, you know? Just need to get the rest of us on board, because there's like this whole resurgence of Octavia's works because of the situation that we're living in, right? Everybody was like, oh, wow. And so now they're reading all of her stuff, not just Parable of the Sower. And getting into, you know, the really deep into that. And so the imagination is clicking, and there's a lot of stuff going on the ground, just, you know, really small group things going on. And so I think we're going to find our way out of this. And I think that, this big sci-fi resurgence that's going on with the Gen Z and Gen Alpha is going to help with that.
What I like is that they left some of these hijacked and traditional watering holes, so to speak, barren. You know, music industry's like, yeah, we'll go take it. And folks are like, I think I'm going to be over here. And you're sitting there going, there's nothing here. And it's like, okay, we're going to go over here and do fashion. And folks are like, I don't want the new Nikes. I don't care if you have red, black, and green Nikes. I'm going to be over here. And I see this younger generation moving into spaces and finding either solace or, as you say, resurrecting their own thing. If I just look at my own kids and I'm seeing them like they're watching the show, but they're on their computer, they're FaceTiming, and they're doing things simultaneously, you know, the whole new way of, you know, like we weren't doing that. I wasn't watching TV and on the phone with you doing that back when I was coming up, but they're in constant community and creating stuff. And then you're sitting there going, damn, you actually know how to use the devices that I pioneered using and got good at and paid for. You use it better than me. Like just seeing them how they work a camera. It's like, how do you know how to take better pictures than me? You know, feel like punching everybody in the chest and throwing them out the house, you know? But at the same time, you know, it's like, yeah, they're taking those tools and using them, and I think that's a good thing. You want to nurture that, you know. Oh, so what are you seeing in the future? What are you seeing coming up?
First of all, stop threatening to punch people in the chest because you can't take a picture. Don't blame the babies. Don't blame the babies. That ain't okay.
Well, you know, I mean, they be eating my food and. You know, they be, you know, be doing, well, can't win no more video games, you know, can't beat them in anything.
Again, that's not about them as much as it is about yourself, sir. But we're gonna leave that alone though.
Yeah. But anyway. No.
For me, I'm really looking forward to like a few of the comic book titles to see where they're going to go, especially some of the crossover events or the team ups. I'm also hoping.
So wait, is Marvel and DC crossing over?
Right now there's a Ben Batman versus Deadpool number one is out.
What?
Okay. I think it's been out about a month now.
Okay, expect a phone call from me to catch up.
That's why I'm getting my reading on. But one of the things that I have been seeing, and one of the things I'm really excited about is, again, Constance, you keep saying all the things I want to say, but you always do, which is a dope thing. But watching the resurgence of people reading, especially Octavia Butler right now. You know, last year and this year, man, people are really taking it. They're taking it to heart and taking it serious this year. Like they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is real!" Like, yeah, we always said that. You know, she was saying something because it looked the world that we grew up in. We could easily see it becoming that. You know, versus the world that they grew up in, they would never imagine it going that way unless they're in it, and that's where we are. So one of the things I'm looking forward to are the stories that are going to start coming out, where we see them, where we see the shorts, where we see the people doing their own animation on YouTube. I think this year we're going to really start seeing the emergence of independent cartoonists, animators. We're going to see more and more of the Black studios and collectives that have been getting together. They're about to start releasing some of their projects. So 2026 has the right ingredients to be amazing for Afrofuturism and just for art as a whole. You know, I think we're coming back to people loving art again for the sake of art. And
real talk.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and before I bring in Quadro, Constance and Janae, you can answer this as well, starting with you, Osa. Since you all are very excited about what is coming down the pipe in looking at the future, what would be the one piece of advice that you give, the tale of caution that you would say to that younger generation that's listening so they don't fall in a pitfall that we may have collectively or individually fell into?
Don't let anyone else tell your stories. For too long, we've allowed other people to tell our stories, and look at what we get. I'm going to say something that's going to make everybody mad real fast. When we don't tell our own stories, we get on up. And I'm saying that with my whole chest. Love Chadwick Boseman. Horrible movie.
The James Brown one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If we have to be able to hold on to our stories, and now we have all the vehicles we can to tell our stories in any way that we want. So that's what I would say to them. Whatever your story is, you tell your story. Don't allow anyone else to tell it for you.
I think that's sound advice, and you know, and I hope that imagination carries on to also correcting narratives within our own. You know, there's been a plethora of many documentaries with people who don't even live in Oakland that are monetizing and making money saying, oh, I'm in Oakland. It's usually some white guy from Europe or something, and I'm standing here on East 14th, and it's a scary thing, and they're getting paid, right? And then it leads to policy. If you type in O'Block in Chicago, there's more than 100 documentaries on O'Block with people who don't live in Chicago. Right? And they're all doom and gloom. And so that's been a thing where they, to your point also, they're telling a story, right? And so you can actually run into your own family members and they go, oh, I've seen on, you know, what they said about Oakland. It's just crazy. And it's like, where'd you see that? On these 20 documentaries that are now being amplified on a platform we don't own, right? With people who only been there like for half a day, if even that, you know? And so I think it's critically important what you said. We better start telling our own stories quick, fast, and in a hurry, and making sure we own them. Because right now other people are telling the stories. You know, black misery, black crime, black death pays the bills for a whole lot of people. And black joy should be the thing that we counter that with, because that will pay our bills spiritually and maybe even monetarily speaking. Janae, what's the word of caution you want to give to this newer generation?
Yeah, I want to add on to what you just said, because I made a documentary. It's a short documentary called Where is East Oakland? And it came out in 2019, not long before the pandemic. But I screened it a couple years ago at Mission High School in San Francisco to some students. And they were shocked because they had never seen East Oakland portrayed like that, because I looked at the art and the culture that makes, you know, East Oakland so unique and great. And I told them, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying, Dave, it's like, be careful, like, what you're consuming. And I can't remember the person who said this, but like, you know, your emotions are currency. And so, right, you know, yeah, these companies, they make money off of making people angry and making people sad and making people depressed and making people hopeless. So just to keep in mind the content that you're consuming, you know, and just to be conscious of that. And also, too, I would advise to also see the value of Black art and the value of what we create. I think sometimes we create things and we take it for granted and we don't see how brilliant it is and beautiful and powerful. We may label stuff as ghetto. I remember, like, the long nails was like considered ghetto. Now everybody wearing long nails.
Everybody wearing them.
Yeah, and everybody
charging,
wearing
and charging you $200 to get them.
Right, right. You know, back in the day in the '80s, that was ghetto. You know, and even twerking, like people like downplay twerking, and now look, now you see all these mainstream artists who aren't Black doing it. So I just hope that people, you know, young people, you see the value of being a Black artist and just having that Black intelligence and Black creativity. And so when it comes to also to negotiating how much you're supposed to get paid for things, keep that in mind. Don't lowball yourself.
Appreciate that, Constance. Any advice?
Gatekeep. It's okay to gatekeep. Keep it within the community. It doesn't just have to be just you or your small group. It can just be trying to keep it within our community for us. You know, nothing wrong with gatekeeping.
Okay, right. I hear you on that. Quadro, how are you seeing things in 2026? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to a couple of, you know, artistic things, not the least of which is a possible Jason Moran, Jeff Mills album, you know, that I've heard Jason Moran, you know, speak of. And so I'm looking forward to hearing that. I'm also looking forward to, you know, the emergent youth movement coming out of the continent, the continent of Africa, and how it may connect with youth on this side of the Atlantic here in the diaspora. You know, Africa has the youngest populace on the planet. And you know what happens when we start seeing our youth, you know, attack things and start getting creative with just the most minimal of, you know, aesthetic materials. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that grows exponentially, you know, especially with, you know, the inspiration from, you know, these real life Afrofuturists like these brothers, Ibrahim Traore, and the ones that are creating the Alliance of Sahel States. You know, right now we're living in like an Afrofuturist moment right now that we need to pay very close attention to. In terms of what we should be watching out for and being suspicious of, I'll reiterate the thing that I said about AI and expand that to, you know, just aesthetics and technology in general, so that we're not just creating within the structures that we've been given. I like what, you know, Sister said in terms of, you know, this independence and underground thing where we're not looking for, you know, the Hollywood studio and things of that nature, but that we can now interrogate the very notion of video and realign that with an African-centered understanding of it. And that's what brings it into an Afrofuturist vision, is that, you know, you start thinking of things from African-centered aesthetics and saying, you know, well, you know, why do we have to use this video tool this way, you know, or why do we have to distribute it in this way? It doesn't have to be done in any specific way. So we start interrogating it at its you know, at its very root core level.
The first thing
I'm sorry. There's one other thing. I'm sorry. One other thing that I was just thinking about it, and that is that, you know, just yesterday, Black Panther Interstellar came out, and so I haven't had a chance to read that, and I know that probably in the upcoming year, this is going to be the main Panther title that is going to be this ghost is yet nodding his head, and so, you know, people need to watch out for that. And I'm sorry, one other thing is, there's a thing called on Facebook, this thing called Black Comic Lords, which kind of started off as just some conversations and stuff, but I'm seeing how it's expanding and really, really is the main discourse place for, you know, Black folks who are interested in graphic novels, comic books, et cetera, and so forth. And they just did a virtual comic convention, you know, which I don't know if anybody had done that before. Yeah, it was just like a few weeks ago. They did a whole weekend virtual comic book convention, a Black comic book convention. So that's a big deal. And I'm looking for how that might expand in the future as well, and even touch some folk on the continent and get them involved with, you know, comic books and artists and things of that
well,
nature.
Thank you for sharing with your friends on this call. See, that's why you can't come to...
all after the fact.
Yeah, all I'm after sorry. The fact, man. He's no longer invited to my cookout.
Can I say one more thing, though, for real?
Yeah.
I would say this, because I love what's happening with the youth. I'm going to say this to the old heads. Y'all got to get curious again. You have to become curious again. Talk to the kids. Ask them for help. Tell them some of your stories. They'll tell you some of theirs. We have to start talking to each other again. I just need to say that.
And I appreciate Janae, Constance, Osa, Quadro and Sean, and big shout out to Ross Ceylon, who would be here, but we have them uplifted. I want to say this. Since you talked about techno, go see the documentary. It's on Tubi, right? God said, give them drum machines. And I'm really going to say this for folks in Oakland. Detroit is our sister city in so many ways. When you talk to people, there's a certain vibe. You see Detroiters, you're like, yo, your family. Watch that movie and be inspired, you know, by what they're doing, because everything you're talking about, seeing Jeff Mills and Kevin Saunderson and Juan Atkins, who for a long time we thought he was from the Bay because he was on Fantasy Records with Cybertron.
Right.
Right. And understanding how they flipped electronic music is something that, you know, Sankofa, learn that path so you can learn that future. And as somebody who uses AI a lot, the first thing, and I'll say this again, this is to Constance's point, you never tell anybody your prompts. Let me repeat that. You don't tell nobody your prompts. And that means don't tell everybody how you was able to flip things and make it be, you know, get to where it is. How'd you get that color? Well, you know, player do what he do. You know, that's it. Osa may know because he's the homie, but ain't nobody else knowing the ingredients to what you do. And I say that in all seriousness, because folks are literally, like when they took over some of these platforms, they wanted to know your keystrokes. You ain't learning my keystrokes, how I got this. You don't know why I do what I do. And when you sign with somebody, they want to know that information. Give them B-level game, never A-level game. You know, and that is really important in a digital electronic world. Don't tell nobody your prompts, you know, which is just keep some of that good stuff to yourself, you know. So thank you very much. We will be in touch. Hard Knock Radio, looking forward to 2026. Ralph for now. Peace.
It's coming down hard. We got to get together.
It's time to go left and not right. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-conformists, one-hitter quitters. For Tyson types and shade figures. Let's get it together, come on, let's make it.
Gotta make it,
to make it,
to make it,
to make it,
to make something happen,
to make something happen,
to make something happen,
let's make something happen.
Word to fight for, gonna bring it to the overlord. Drinking Cisco, chilling with the gold microphone cords. And we grip our balls every time we stuntin' on tour, cause we never bore. Responding to the ready crowds roar, and promoters try to hit us with the audible. We about our business, we not quitters, not we deliver, we go get it. Don't be bitter, cause we not just zigging.
Jerobi, my fire woven to different cloth. Ain't nothing for me in this nigga, get it. North hard to spit in the city. I make the spitting kid so confused in the maze. With your brain missing, lost the planning for our future people. None of our people involved. Boring, handy, and smearing off the kid and cracking off. Cracking off and smearing off, quickly turn a Molotov. Molotov the spaceship door before just taking off. It always seems the poorest persons, the people forsaken. Dog and Washington's, Jefferson's, Jackson's on the captain's log. They'd rather leave us to the greatest water poison, deli small. Class unblackening, it's happening. You feel it, y'all. I'd rather see we need 3-breath structure with many bars. Leave us where we are so they can play among the stars. We're taking off to Mars, got the space vessels overflowing. What you think they want us there? All this nigga's not going.
Reputation ain't glowing, reparations ain't flowing. If you find yourself in the creek, you better start rolling. Used to see the TV screen as a place I land my dream in the car stereo. Where they would promote the show. Optimistic world, brother, with a real hope, you know.
Ain't a space program for niggas, girl, you stuck here, nigga. There ain't a space program for niggas, girl, you stuck here, nigga. There ain't a space program for niggas, girl, you stuck here, nigga. There ain't a space program for niggas, girl, you stuck.
Sometimes I read the paper every day. All these happenings are secular, just happen different ways. And the president's refined in her wings, she's confined with about 30 Percocets and 5 bottles of wine. Carolina, nothing finer than a black woman who climbs to the top of the state building, claiming that their flag is mine. Now people on top of people feels like we can't breathe. Put so much in this could feel like we should leave. Put it on TV, put it in movies, put it in our face. These noises and ideas live in this space. I chuckle just like all of y'all. Absurdity after all. Takes money to get it running and money from trees and fall. Imagine for 1 second all my people of color, please. Imagine for 1 second all the people in poverty. No matter the skin tone, culture or time zone. Think the ones who got it would even think to throw you a bone. Moved you out your neighborhood, did they find you a home? Non-cypher, probably no place to. Imagine if this was really talking about space too. Imagine if this was really talking about space too.
go left and not right. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dad diggins. For non-conformers when hit or quitters. For Tyson types and Che figures. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead ends. For non-conformers, one hit or quitters. For Tyson types and Che figures. Make, make, make. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead diggers. For non-conformers, one hit or quitters. For types and types and chain figures. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-conformers, one hit or quitters. For types and types and chain figures. Hey, hey. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-performers, one hit or quitters. For types and types and chain figures. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead diggers. For non-conformers, one hit or quitters. For types and types of chain figures. Make, make, make. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen.
Here.
Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan Kim. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock, radio, let's go. Big shout out to Davey D.
Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah.
Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on. Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats. Trying to eat to the belly from the steel grave beats. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Saying peace to their lovers. I lay with a please. Made a stone shade on.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
In the realm of the airwaves, where the truth does spin.
Hard Knock Radio takes the mic. Let the dialogue begin.
From the heart of the culture, where the beats do sway.
Hip hop, pop, politics, and culture.
Rule the day.
On your radio.
Hard Knock rocking on your radio.
Hard Knock rocking on your radio.
Speaking truth to power.
Hard Knock rocking on your radio. Hard Knock rocking on your radio.
Speaking truth to power.
Hard Knock rocking on your radio.
Greetings, I'm Ansel Craiglin.
And I'm Winston Watson.
And I'm Donna Clark.
And we are The Meditation.
We are listening to Community Radio.
KBOO
90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Dig it.
Thank you.
KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO's zine, The Boo Beat, is back with a second issue, featuring KBOO's program guide, interviews with local activists and community members, spotlights on local businesses, on-the-ground reporting, and fun quizzes and crosswords. Our zine